Philippians chapter 3, and we're verse 10 and 11 this morning. We're going to read verse 9. It goes a lot along with it. Verse 9 is justification. Verse 10 is sanctification. Verse 11 is glorification. And I want to read all of those this morning as we deal with verse 10 and 11. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for your word. Lord, I stand before you today with feeling very inadequate for what is here in these passages to be able to share it. Lord, I just pray right now through the power of your Holy Spirit that you'll do what I cannot. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a very dense portion of Scripture. There's a lot of what you and I hinge our hope upon is right here. I mean, just those words, justification, sanctification, glorification, is the theology that we all are living unto. And for me to cover that in 20 minutes or however long I'm going to take here this morning is impossible. I feel so inadequate. I've studied really hard this week. I want you to know that I have. And I've written a lot, and I have condensed what I have written, and I still have way too much to try to say. But I think that it's a blessing to even just skim the surface of what is here this morning. And I challenge you to go home and study these passages on your own and to read about them, what other people have said. You'll grow you in your Christian life. It's a very, very wonderful passage of Scripture here this morning. But the overwhelming theme, the sort of the matter that Paul seems to be getting around to, that he finally does here in our text this morning, is that I may know him, to know him. In all of life, in all that you do, the grandest thing that you can ever do is to know Jesus Christ, is to have a relationship with him. There is nothing better on this side of heaven than to know him. And that is Paul's thought here. And we've seen him kind of gradually getting there in verse number 7. He talked about these things that were gained to him were just loss for knowing Christ. It was just much better. Verse number 8, he talks about gaining the knowledge of Christ. He also said in verse number 8 that he hoped to win Christ. He said, I count everything else in my life as waste if I could just win Christ. And verse number 9, he said he hoped to be found in Christ. And then here in verse number 10, he says, that I may know him. And that's what I want to talk to you about here today, to know him. To get into this, we need to know exactly what does the word know mean. What does it mean to know Christ? Because we all know that the word know carries different meanings in our language. You know, you can know something simply by learned study. I did not know algebra until I took algebra class, and I still do not know algebra very well. But believe it or not, you know, A plus B equals C. I didn't know the alphabet had to do with math. Did I get my algebra wrong there, teachers? But we studied some things in school, or you may study some things for your trade, and we come to know some things from the things that we study. You can also know something simply by understanding. There's just some things in life that we would say, well, yeah, I know what's going on. I understand this, so I know these things. Brother Sam told us a joke this morning in the 8:30 service. He sang a song and told us a joke, and he said, the little boy, the preacher had some names on plaques up here of people who died in the service, and they were honoring them on Memorial Day or something like that. And after the preacher was done, the little boy went up and tugged on the preacher's coat and said, did they die in the 8:30 service or the 11 o'clock service? Right? So this little boy had somewhat of an understanding, but he didn't quite know what the preacher was talking about. There are some things in our life that we come to know simply by understanding. Other things we come to know because we learned by study. But Paul's meaning here of the word know is he says that I may know him goes just a little farther. First, in a practical sense, Paul would know Christ, in that Christ would be a part of his daily life. Paul would allow himself to be controlled by Christ. So he knew, he said that I may know him in the practical sense. And hopefully you know Christ in the practical sense. Hopefully Christ and his word is a part of your daily life. Hopefully Jesus is Lord in your life and he is in control. Second, Paul would, in the deepest personal intimacy and contact, know Christ. We know, understanding the Bible talks of Adam and Eve, and that's probably the first instance of this. Adam knew his wife Eve, and those two were one. And that means so much in that one word, know, talks of this intimate relationship that we may have with another person. And I'm not meaning in the sexual sense there. I'm meaning in the knowing sense, a relationship. Those of you who are married, those of you who have actual friends in life or family that you're close to, you understand that there's this thing of having to know them to keep that relationship. And there's some work involved there. You got to listen and you got to talk. And you can't just talk or just listen. I'm guilty of just talking. A lot of times my wife will be right in the middle of something real important, and you know, and something will hit me about the church or about the Bible, and I'll interrupt her and throw it out there, and she's very gracious to me, and she'll listen and grin, you know. And then it'll finally hit me, and I'll say, oh, you were saying something. So it can't just be all talking, and it can't just be all listening. It takes a little bit. But this knowing, I know her because of the relationship that we have with each other. And every day of my life, I get to know her more. And it's the same with Christ in the personal sense. I get to know Him. Richard Mielick says this. He says, in longing to know Christ, therefore Paul sought a complete relationship with Him. Paul says, that I may know Him. He's saying, I want a complete relationship with Him. I've never experienced a complete relationship with anyone. I think as far as fathers and sons go, my father and I have had a great relationship. He may not say the same of me, but I'll at least say that of him. I think as far as mothers go, I've got a great relationship with my mother, with my sister, with some of my family members, with my wife. Brother Ryan and I talk pretty candidly with each other, and we have a great relationship. And we drive our wives nuts with that, I think, sometimes. But to say a complete relationship with somebody, that's a statement, isn't it? I mean, my wife and I have been married since 2002. We've got a lot of years together. We started seeing each other. When did we start seeing each other? It was 97, 98, something like that. I don't know. Seeing each other, going with her, liking her, talking. We were talking. Is that what teenagers say now? We're just talking. I've been out of youth ministry too long. I don't know. What do they say, Morgan? What do you do with boys now? Are you dating, talking? You don't want to tell me? No. Don't even call you out from the pulpit. Does anybody know? Nobody knows. Dating. Okay, so they're dating again now. For a long time, they weren't dating because, you know, you had to be a certain age to date, but you could talk at any age, I guess, or whatever. I don't know. Texting? You text? Well, anyway, with all of that, to say, I mean, you could go years with this thing, but to say I have a complete relationship, boy, that's a statement, isn't it? But this is what Paul's saying here. I want that with Christ. And I amen Paul on that. I want that with Christ. More than I want that with my wife or any of you, I want a complete relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to know Him. I want to know Him. In fact, Jesus told His disciples that this kind of relationship was the goal. In Matthew chapter 7, He said that many would come to Him and profess all that they had done in His name. He said, many will come to Me in that day, and they'll cry, Lord, Lord, have we not done? And then just fill in the blank of their list of stuff that they said that they'd done in Jesus' name. And the crippling truth to this is in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 7, as Jesus has to say to them, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, ye that work iniquity. See, it's all about that complete relationship, that I may know Him, that He may know me. Do you know Him? That's the question today, isn't it? That is Paul's big idea, is to know Him, that I may know Him, that I may have this complete relationship with Jesus Christ. And in this, in verse number 10, speaking of knowing Him, Paul speaks of knowing Him now in verse number 10 through sanctification, or knowing Him better in this life. Literally, sanctification means made holy or consecrated unto God. That's what's happening now in our lives. In verse number 11, Paul speaks of glorification, or being made like Christ later in eternity. Literally, glorification is sanctification completed. We read this in verse 21. If you still got your Bible open to chapter 3 there, notice verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Glorification is when this robe of flesh, we drop and rise, the song says, and we enter into eternity, and our soul puts off this carnal flesh, and our flesh returns to the dust, right? And we enter a glorified body prepared for us, just as Christ did after His resurrection. Only then can we be with Him and truly know Him, and that is glorification. So both of these thoughts fall into knowing Him here today. One, knowing Him now. One, knowing Him later in life. Let's look at these together for our topic. First, to know Him through sanctification. Verse number 10. Paul says, first, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now, in speaking of the power of the resurrection, it needs no explanation. If you are in Christ, if He is your Lord, if you've been saved, born again, whatever word you want to put with that, if you're saved, you understand the power of the resurrection because it's working in you. I don't have to explain the power of the resurrection to you because you know the power of the resurrection. Paul is talking about that here. He's talking about it now. To know Christ is to have His resurrection power now. So many go through life with a hope so. They go through life with this idea of, I'll do the best I can in this life, and hopefully in eternity I can have the power of the resurrection. Paul's not talking about in the future. When he says that I may know Him, he wants a complete relationship with Christ now, today, before today, hopefully. At conversion, when we repent and make a faith commitment to Christ, we are united with Him. And then God does something which we accept by faith. And once accepted, this becomes a fact of experience. Now you go in throwing in words like fact around faith, and that seems like an oxymoron. But the Bible says very clearly, now faith, Hebrews 11:1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, our focus becomes there, the hoped for and the not seen. And so we make our faith off into this ghost story. You know, it's this thing not seen. But the Bible says pretty plainly there's a substance to it. There's some evidence to it there. If I didn't have the substance of the Word of God, my faith would be very shallow. My relationship with Christ would be nothing more than a myth. But there is some substance. I have God's Word on it. Is God going to go back on His Word? Absolutely not. My hope is not in vain. My faith is not amiss. My faith is in Christ through the power of His Word, through the working in my heart of the Holy Spirit of God. So we must now come to know Him in whom we now live. Next, Paul says to know Him, not only the power of His resurrection, but the fellowship of His sufferings. Now, this doesn't mean that Paul wishes to suffer himself for human sin, because only Jesus could do that. Paul wished to join in Christ's suffering in a different sense. Boyce says this. He says he wished to stand with Christ in such an indivisible union that when the abuses and persecution that Christ suffered also fell on him, as he knew they would, he could receive them as Jesus did. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings. He wanted to react like Jesus did. And then he says, there being made conformable unto His death, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Galatians 2:20, Paul wrote, I am crucified with Christ. That is being made conformable unto His death. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. In Colossians chapter 3, he wrote this. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. We must die to our old self so that our new man can be born. The amazing thing about this sanctification process, this knowing the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, the amazing thing about this is that it happens instantly and gradually. Now, how can that be? That's tough, isn't it? You've had instant rice, right? And you've probably had some gradual rice. For some reason, my instant rice always seems to be gradual rice. I can't get the instant part right on that, so I just let my wife cook the rice. But in our sanctification process, this us becoming more like Christ now in this life, it is simply that. When in faith Christ became Lord in my life, I was justified, sanctified, glorified instantly. At that moment of salvation, had I entered into eternity, salvation's work would have been complete for me. Right now. See, God's outside of time, isn't He? I mean, it's today for us, but it's, I don't know what God calls it up there. It's not today for God. It's just, it is. He is. God said, I am. Right? That's his state of being. As far as God's concerned, at my salvation, my being born again, whatever we put so many words with it in religion. I was justified. I was made just as if I had never sinned. I was sanctified. As far as eternity was concerned, I was completely consecrated unto God and glorified, meaning had I entered eternity at that moment, I would have received my glorified body and this carnal flesh would have gone away. But it's also a gradual process because obviously I'm standing before you here today. At the moment of salvation, I didn't step off into eternity. Part of me kind of wishes that was how it happened because I've failed God a lot since then. It's been nice to just instantly been done with it, right? But God still has a purpose for us. Sanctification now gradually works in me toward glorification. Every day. Paul said, I die daily. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me, right? Every day. I am crucified with Christ, Paul writes. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Every day we have to die to the old man and live unto Christ in the new man. It is a gradual process of becoming more and more and more like him. Have you ever wanted to say something along these lines? I'm more saved now than I used to be. You ever felt that way? That's not theologically correct. It's not biblically correct, but it makes good sense in my brain. From the 11-year-old who first just said, I don't want to burn in hell, so I want Jesus to my Lord, to the man that I am now who wants to get as much of Jesus in me as I can and give him as much of me as I can. I feel more saved than I was then. That's the progression of sanctification. From justification, you could almost write a timeline to glorification, and everything in between is sanctification. It is God drawing us closer to Him, more like Him. You want to know if you're right with God? Are you more like Christ today than you were yesterday? Are you becoming more like Christ tomorrow than you did the day before? That is sanctification in the instant sense and in the gradual sense. And sanctification, we said, gradually leads toward glorification. Verse number 11. Paul says here, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul doesn't stop with what really matters now in this life. Knowing Christ means that life goes beyond death. That's why we all get so happy when we think, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. When we sing, I shall know him, I shall know him. And his face will be the first thing that I see. Brother Rye maybe told me, or someone told me, Brother Joel, his son, was sick at a time, and Miss Lisa was very sick at a time, and they're both doing better now, and we praise the Lord for that. But there was a time when Brother Joel called Miss Lisa on the phone, and I think I've got the story right. He said, what, are you trying to beat me to heaven? And that's a very comical way for us to handle what we're going through, but to the believer, that's very true. The secular world has no hope like this. When the doctor says cancer, that's it. That's the end. When the worst news comes, that's as bad as it can get for them. But for you and I, this is not the end. At best, this life is resurrection ground. And while we have to stay here and mourn the loss of those who go over, when it's our time to go, we can enter that time with a smile on our face, with joy in our hearts, knowing that Jesus will be the first that we see. Praise the Lord for that. And Paul says here, knowing Christ means that life goes beyond the grave. Now, I will draw a note to what he said here. He said, that I might attain unto the resurrection. That saying attain here doesn't mean that Paul was afraid for his eternal security. This is the person who wrote in Romans chapter 8, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. You want to add anything else to his list there? I think he about covered it. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's not saying, I think I'm saved and I hope I get there someday. No. He said, I know I'm saved and I know I'm going to be glorified someday. And I want to know Jesus now. He also said, just two chapters earlier in Philippians 1:6, he said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is definitely a man who believed in eternal security of the believer. He is not one that's worried about his everlasting life. He knows that God will bring him safely to heaven. But what he is thinking about here is something totally different. He is saying that he wishes to be so much like Christ in the way that he lived that people would think of him as a resurrected person even now, even before his physical death. I'll tell you, the worst of sinners make the best Christians, it seems like. And no offense to any of you like me who weren't the worst of sinners, which actually I was just real private about it. Amen. But you see these people who publicly lived for the world and the flesh and the devil, who Jesus changes their life and they begin to publicly live for the Lord. And what does everybody who runs into them say? Oh, you've changed. You're different. What happened to you? And then they start throwing you off in the cults, don't they? They've brainwashed you down there. You're not normal anymore. I don't know what that preacher's doing down at that church you've been going to, but I'm worried about you. You've become a little bit fanatical in your religion. Yeah, I'm fanatical, all right. When something as big as Jesus moves in, you'll get a little fanatical about it, by the way. Amen. That's what Paul's saying here. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, in this life, I want people to look and say, hey, there's something different about this guy. He is not the old dead man that he used to be. He has become alive, and I don't know how it's happened, but I want what he's got. Paul says, that I may know him. And when we live as if we know him, that's exactly how others will see us. And not for our own glory, not so others can see us. Don't get me wrong here. It's all to the glory of God. That's why he works in us, bring glory to himself through us. I close with this. Warren Wiersbe has said for Paul to know him, he summarizes this very well. He said it was a personal experience, a powerful experience, and a painful experience. First, in a personal experience, he says Paul walked daily with Christ, prayed, obeyed his will, and sought to glorify his name. When he was living under the law, all Paul had was a set of rules. Do you remember those days when all you had was a set of rules? We were talking about in Sunday school, mom and dad making me go to church. I confess, in Sunday school, I used to get mad at y'all. I didn't want to go to church. I was lost. Lost people don't like going to church. Some of you church Christian people don't like going to church sometimes. Let's get honest here. But all I had was just a set of rules. The best I could come up with was, I've kept this set of rules. And that was my righteousness before God. What a pitiful thing. Before Christ, that's all Paul had. But in Christ, now that he knows him, it's a personal experience. Now he has a friend. He has a master. He has a constant companion. It was also a powerful experience. The resurrection power of Christ worked in Paul's life. Paul said very well, it is not I, but Christ living in me. And then it was a painful experience. Paul knew that it was a privilege for him to suffer for Christ. Suffering was a part of his experience from the very beginning. So I would ask you this morning, do you know him? And then I would say to you, do you really know him? I mean, many have studied and can say, oh yeah, I know. I know the Bible. I know what it says. Many would say, well, I grew up in church and in my home. We knew about Jesus, you know, and would know him in that way. That's not what I'm asking you this morning. In a personal sense, do you know him? Now, it's not a complete relationship, but I know my wife. And you have people in your life that you know. She and I could complete each other's sentences sometimes. Sometimes she knows what I'm thinking before I even think myself. We know one another. Do you know Christ in this way? Does he know you in this way? Have you given yourself to Christ that he may know you just as you would another person on this earth? Do you really know him? Paul says, of all in life, I count everything else as street waste, that I may know him. You know him. To know him is what life is all about. And if God can take Saul and make him into Paul, imagine what he could do for you. Let's stand this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. Miss Wiggins is going to play us a verse of an invitation song. The two things as we come for prayer today. The first is, do you know him? And if you do not, today is the day of salvation. Come this morning and bow and let someone show you on the authority of God's word how your sins can be forgiven and Jesus can be the Lord of your life. You can know him. Secondly, today is the Lord's Supper. And we've come this morning in remembrance of Christ's suffering and death and shedding of blood to remember him. And as we prepare to take this ordinance of the church, No doubt we all feel unworthy to do so, because none of us will ever be worthy on this side of heaven. But as she plays this morning, you pray right now. And just as 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, the Bible says. Prepare yourselves now as we come to partake in this most holy ordinance of the church. As Miss Wiggins plays, let's pray together.